Welcome to Yo 11 Minutes, Yo 11 Minutes, mostly Vegas, no BS, casino experience, and more. Today's episode, should I use points for that hotel stay? This is episode 59, season 2. Michael Traeger is a casino and travel loyalty expert who also helps people turn their travel dreams into reality. And now your host, Michael Traeger. How's it going, Michael?
It's going great. And I updated the title a little. It's really, should I use points or pay cash for that hotel stay? Dun-dun-dun! I don't know. I was fooling around with the title. But that is the title for today.
So it's points versus cash in an all-out battle.
We've had this conversation a little bit before, but it's mostly points versus cash. That would be the story. You know, I was just thinking a funny story. You know how we're always talking about rebooting?
Yeah.
Our computers before we do this show so that everything works correctly. I remember years ago in the ancient realm of older computer systems, my parents' company had a bookkeeper, and she used to always call it reboot. But it gets better. She had a password on the system when she rebooted, and she used to call it Itzhak. And I was like, Itzhak, Itzhak. And the password was it's okay.
No
all lowercase letters.
No one would have been able to crack that.
No. But I loved between the rebooting and the Itzhak. What's your password? Itzhak. I'm like, it's okay. Hey. It's probably down there. I think like in the, like the 70s and 80s, they had like those 10 passwords that like a lot of people use. One was called password.
Yeah, that was one of them. Yep.
Yeah, or password one.
And if they really wanted to update their password, password two, because no one would figure that out.
We shouldn't joke about that. Actually, what we should, today's public service announcement is really think about your data security. It's really, really important. Two-factor authorization is a really good thing. If you do two-factor authorization, you should consider using an authentication app, sort of like Google Authenticator, instead of just using your phone number or both, because people can actually hijack your SIM and your phone number. So if you use an authenticator app, you can prevent that. But especially for things like Facebook and other stuff, if you ever wonder about the people who get hacked, a lot of times there are people who didn't bother to do two-factor authorization. So you should make sure you have two-factor authorization for everything important in your life. And you should also have complicated passwords, not passwords like Itzhak.
And also, while you're browsing around online, make sure you're browsing around privately and securely with NordVPN. NordVPN offers end-to-end protection to ensure that... I'm sorry, this started to sound like we were being sponsored.
I know. We have no sponsorship. No, we have no sponsor. I know. You know, that's so funny when you say that, though, which is so – because we're so here for our audience, and we don't care about money. But it is funny when you listen to YouTubers and you know the sponsorship, and they go into the sponsorship spiel at some point. And that's always funny. But it's exactly the way you did it there. That was very, very good. Well, we do that for Travels or Travel.
That's true.
You
just sort of ease right into it.
Yeah, but seriously, two-factor authorization. Don't let someone hijack your Facebook, especially if you use these platforms. It's really a horrible thing if somebody hijacks 10 years worth of posts from Facebook and all the photos that you've uploaded and everything. It's really, really sad if you lose your account. So just take the time to concern yourself with your data security.
Indeed. That being said, we have a thing about the news. It was a story that we first reported on back in September, and it has to do with the Diamond Inn Motel and its pink elephants. The Diamond End Motel is on auction. The fate of the pink elephant beloved by many a road traveler to Las Vegas is to be decided shortly. Diamond End Motel has recently appeared on J.P. King, a land redevelopment auction site, and is currently on auction until March 14th. The property closed to the public on September 29th, as reported here. The auction listing indicates any sale would include the existing structures on the site, including the Diamond End's pink elephant. Although the listing emphasizes the property is prime for redevelopment because of its location on the strip across from the Mandalay Bay, the listing also indicates the property could be suited for high-rise luxury condos or an entertainment venue, since it can have building heights ranging from 406 to 505 feet tall. Redevelopment seems likely for the Diamond End Motel as it closed last year after multiple code violations and the existing structures at the property were in overall decline, according to reports from the Clark County Building Department. And that's going to do it for the news. And now for the views. Michael, what are your thoughts?
I think the world needs more dive motels, and I'm very, very sad every time I hear we've lost another dive motel.
I agree. The pink elephant, though, I think since, you know, people love that thing so much, whatever gets done with that parcel of land, whatever new development goes up, they should find a way to preserve the pink elephant, much like Derek Stevens preserved Vegas Vicky at Circa. Like, they should do have the pink elephant bar, you know, just have the pink elephant bar or something and have the elephant there and or something. They need to preserve that pink elephant. That and the Mirage Volcano. I remember we discussed this when we first reported this story. The Mirage Volcano.
But we can't lose all these dive motels. It's just it's horrible for people who need places to bring their prostitutes. I mean, it's just not right.
They have to go somewhere.
Exactly.
Oh my goodness. I mean,
I'll just leave you with that one for today.
Yeah, I don't even think I have any further comments on that.
Movestro, do you have any further comments on that?
I do not. Thank you for asking. Although in GTA, you can just bring your prostitute to the car. But anyways, it is time for the tease.
Today we are going to deal with the number one question I get from people most of the time, which is a perfectly logical question. And that question is, should I use points for that hotel stay or should I pay cash? And we jumped into this a little bit when we were talking about when we were talking about Hyatt and Rio and everything. But it's a really, really, it's a good question because people are looking at points and they're often looking at points balances. That could be 50,000, 100,000, a million, half a million. And they're trying to say, like, does this make sense to use points? And the thing about it is it's a quite a common question, but it's a really easy question to answer. And really, you just have to create, you have to come up with how you, much you value your points. So very, very simply, if you look at points, if you consider your points worth 1 cent each, that's 0.01. And if you look at 100,000 points, that means 100,000 points are worth $1,000. Now, I'm not telling you that that is a correct valuation for something. I'm just using it as easy math, you know, example. So if a room costs 100,000 points and you value points currency at 1 cent per point, that means that you better be getting at least $1,000 in value from that. So that means that the cash rate has to be at least $1,000. Otherwise, it's per your valuation more expensive. If a room costs 50,000 points and you value points at 1 cent per point, that means you better be getting more than $500 in value. And of course, you need to look at the complete cost of the room. Some uses of points have waiver of resort fee. So if the use of points has, if the hotel room is $200, and when you use points, you don't pay a resort fee, you need to take that into account. Whereas if you have to pay a resort fee, you have to take that into account with regard to the cash price. Now, I did give a link in the notes from Gary Leff of View from the Wing, which is the value of points. And he gives a value of points for each airline, hotel, and transferable point currency. He values, as I do and many people, transferable point currencies are the most valuable. What is a transferable point currency? Super duper easy. You have points like Hyatt points that can only be used for World of Hyatt program. You have points like American Advantage miles, which can only be used for redeeming on American Airlines. Then you have programs like Chase Ultimate Rewards, American Express Membership Rewards. And those points you accumulate, but when you want to use them, you can transfer them to the other programs. So Chase, you can transfer to United, you can transfer to Hyatt, and sometimes they have different bonuses for transferring. So obviously, for flexibility, you want the most of your points to be in a transferable currency, such as Ultimate Rewards or Membership Rewards, so that you can transfer them at your leisure. Of course, it is never super duper easy because all programs do not transfer. In other words, you know, Chase does not transfer to Delta. No, actually, Chase does transfer to Delta. Oh, did I just screw that up? Chase does not do the easy one. Chase does not transfer to American Airlines. And Chase doesn't. I'm pretty sure they don't Delta. Chase transfers to, my mind just went blank. Chase transfers to Flying Blue. It doesn't transfer to Delta. Whereas American Express is a very big Delta partner and transfers to Delta. But then you have some interesting currencies like Bilt. That's another conversation for another time, where you can also get points for rent. But what's neat about Bilt is they transfer to Hyatt and to American Airlines. Well, guess what? Those are two of the most valuable currencies. Chase transfers to Hyatt. American Express does not transfer to Hyatt. And American Airlines, pretty much so nobody transfers to American Airlines. So that's something that's really, really good to keep in mind. So just remember that and look over Gary's valuation of points. He does not value many things as one. Well, I mean, some of the airlines he does, but the hotels he does not value very, very highly. He does value World of Hyatt a little bit more than Ascent, like 0.014, but a lot of the others he values a lot lower. So that's just definitely something to look at and something to think about. But really, it's just a matter of what are your points worth? You create a valuation for your points so you know how much they're worth, and then you just compare that to the cash price. Another major caveat, and this is an outlier caveat, is if you happen to be extremely points rich, then your valuations might be a little bit different. That's, for instance, someone who maybe they traveled so much that they've got 7 million points. And of course, as we know, points are always going to devalue. So you want to use your points. Now, most people are not that points rich, but what they often say, are you points rich versus cash rich? But most people don't usually have that many points. Also, the cost of yet of your points. And when I say cost, is most people get points through spend. So you have to spend quite a bit of money to get those points, or through stays or through flying. Other times you do have some sign-up bonuses. So some people might value their points a little bit less if, say, they got a couple hundred thousand Chase Ultimate Rewards points, but they got all of those from sign-up bonuses. And that happens a lot with American Express, because American Express Platinum Card has had these 150,000 point bonuses for sign-up, and you could get multiple cards. So maybe you got a couple hundred thousand, you know, miles from American Express from those sign-up bonuses. But in most instances, that isn't for most people. For most people, it takes them quite a while to accumulate a lot of points. So you should value them properly, because you want to be able to get the most bang for your buck. And 100%, it's never an easy. Every circumstance is different. A lot of times it doesn't make sense to use points. A lot of times it makes sense to use cash. There are more instances where it makes more sense often to use cash than it does to use points, unless you can find a really good redemption. And unfortunately, some programs have better redemptions than others, and that's another reason why people really like the Hyatt program, is that the redemptions tend to be very, very valuable, whereas other programs, like another popular program like Marriott Bonvoy, for some reason, the redemptions seem to align a lot with the cost of the hotel. So if a hotel in a Marriott program is $800 to $1,000 a night, you'll happen to notice that those hotels tend to be 80 to 120,000 Bonvoy points. Whereas with Hyatt, you still have some hotels where you can redeem for 25,000, 30,000 points for a hotel stay that might be $800, $900, $1,000. So just stuff to keep in mind. And I'll ask now Movestro's opinion. Does that make sense? Is that clear? Does that solve that problem for you?
You know, it wasn't a problem that I had, but it's good to know now that if I do have that problem is solved. So it really just depends on the value of your points and if you're willing to lose the points. I mean, I saw like the example you had about you want the room that's $800 a night for 25,000 points. I saw that example. I'm like, oh, I can understand that. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Right. And you know what? Going back to that Hyatt example. So Gary says Hyatt points are worth 0.014. So that's almost 1.5 cents per point. So Hyatt at the Rio was 9,000 points. So if you multiply 9,000 times 0.014, that comes up to $126. Now, in most cases, you can get a room at Rio midweek when it's 9,000 points, or a lot of times with 9,000 points, you can get a room at Rio for 22 or say, let's call it $25. And if you had to pay a resort fee, because globalists don't have pay resort fees, that would be 25 plus 40. So it's 40, that's $65. So if you value those 9,000 points at 0.014, that's $126. So the question becomes, is it better to pay $65 or is it better to pay $126? And then if you're a globalist and you get resort fees waived, even on cash rooms, it's definitely better to pay $25 cash for a room than to use points worth $126. And that's it. You basically now have a model. Look at Gary's chart. You'll get a really good idea of this kind of stuff. Get out your handy dandy calculator. It's really good to have a handy dandy calculator anyway. And that's something there. And then, you know, on top of that, you can lament the fact that we're losing all the dive motels.
Yes. No place to bring your prostitutes. What a shame. What a shame.
Well, actually, it's just increased the cost. It's actually, it's not, you know, cents per point, that's CPP, but this is cost per prostitute has increased. That's your, so your CPP, your cost per prostitute.
You down with CPP? Yeah, you know me. Okay, anyways, before we get going. Do you have,
I don't know. Cost CPP is not cents per point. It's cost per prostitute.
Before we get going, do you have any closing remarks that are not about prostitutes?
Haven't I given you enough today, Movestro? Yeah. I had a busy day and I got isn't this enough for you so far?
I think you're right. And that's going to do it for this episode. Luxury travel booking, Travel Zork Travel. Visit us at travelzork.travel to plan your next amazing vacation. And please join the conversation on social media. You can find us easily. All social platforms are at Travel Zork. We'll see you next time.